Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think that y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things.
It don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. An optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We are so glad you could join us live today. Kingdom of God Ministries broadcasting to you live, and to the listeners out there, or the members of Kingdom of God Ministries, we pray that you have a blessed, prosperous holiday, and may the power of God be upon you. We just had tragedy, you know, listening to the news with the families that were affected by the shooting that went on in, what was it? But we know about the the 20 children, the little kids that were brutally gunned down and murdered by the hand of the assassin. And we just want to lift the families up in prayer, because a lot of times people are going through some things, and this is what the churches should be all about, where they can reach out to us for support, for prayer in the time of need. No, we're not saying we have the answers. But we do know the one who has the answers, who is Jesus Christ. And at this particular time, Father, we just lift the families up to you. We pray for the people in Newtown, Lord God, that you would just encourage them in this bereaved period and moment of time. Lord God, we even lift up the shooter and his family. Lord God, we know that when he stepped out of this life, he went into eternal judgment. And only you will be the one who sentenced judgment upon this person. Lord, we don't know if he had cried out in the past or was the cries ignored, Lord God. We don't know. We wasn't there. But, Lord God, we'll take this platform and this opportunity to reach out to the hurting people, to the people that may be listening that are struggling with all kinds of demonic oppression, demonic oppression, possession. Lord God, we reach out to them, and we let them know we're here. If you need somebody to pray with, if you need somebody to call in the midnight hour and say, I'm being tormented with this demonic spirit of murder, call us. And we can touch and agree, and we can break this demonic stronghold before it do something what has happened on Friday. Yes, it's tragic. Yes, my heart was grieved. The whole country's heart is grieved because these were innocent babies going to school. I'm a grandparent. I got little five-year-old, little six-year-old grandbabies. They're innocent. They don't know. All they want is love. All they wanted to do was play and have a good time. They was not thinking that a demonic, demon-possessed young man would come up in their school and kill them. And our hearts go out to them. No, we don't fault him, but Lord God, we know that Satan is the author. He is the demonic source behind all this demonic activity. We don't hate that person, but we hate that demonic spirit that is controlling these people. The shooting in Oregon, the Columbine shooting, is going from place to place to place. America, wake up. This is why we're teaching on the churches of Revelation. Churches, wake up. We have a mandate to teach the word of God. So we lift these families up to you, Lord God. And we reach out to the hurting, to the depressed, the oppressed. Lord God, we ask that you touch them where they can run to you, Father God, in a time of need. And we pray for our listening audience. We pray for our church, Lord God, that you would touch the hearts, touch the people, bring them into the church, Lord God. Now is the time. People is seeking you as never before. And we pray in Jesus, Yeshua, Son of the living God, amen. Today we will be teaching on the Church of Pergamos. That was one of the third churches in Revelation that the prophet John, God gave him the vision, and he told John to write the things that he's seen. John went into a vision. The Lord showed him these things to address the church. Yes, we may say, well, that was in that time, 70 A.D., around that time, but it is applicable today because we see a lot of the same things that are happening in the church today that are still happening that was back then. So we're going to address these issues. We're going to address these concerns. And as with all our broadcasts, we hope that what we say will bring deliverance. And to the preachers and the teachers that are teaching a perverted gospel, we ask that you fall on your face before God. Is any of us perfect? No. But God, his word is perfect. And his word will bring us back on the right path. So the message to Pergamos reveals a struggle that the church has always had to contend with. Guess what? False doctrine. Let's look at what Jesus had to say to this group of believers in Pergamum. First he said, Revelation 2:12, and to the angel of the church of Pergamum write, these things saith he which has a sharp sword with two edges. Yeah, as we notice here, the seven churches of Revelation, the way that Jesus introduces himself to each church is significant. Here we see Jesus announcing himself as the one with the sharp sword with two edges. The scriptures themselves declare that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. What better way to confront false doctrine than to use and rightly divide the word of God to correct. This is what we're supposed to do as men and women of God. The sword of the Spirit, the Bible is noted as being a two-edged sword. It has the ability to convict, but also to heal. The word of God is not bound and cannot perform the impossible. It is alive. It is the key to the new birth. It is the key to spiritual life and sustenance. That's what the word of God should do. It is sharper than a two-edged sword, meaning that it can cut the false doctrine off, but it can heal. It can mend. It can heal the broken heart. It can bring deliverance to the captives. It can set them free. There's so much in the word of God. So when we see false doctrine that is creeping into the body of Christ, it is our duties as men and women of the Most High to bring it to attention. We can't always just preach a little sugar-coated gospel when we see things like this that is happening in our nation today. I cannot sit here and tell you that all is well, and I've just seen little children gunned down like animals. I can't tell you that today because my heart is grieved. My heart is burdened because we flock to these churches of worship, and all we can do is get something that appeases our fleshly desires. We should be, God, in the word of God, we should be able to teach others, but we still need people to teach us. Grow up, church, mature church. We should be mature Christians in Jesus Christ. Let's go on. Revelation 2:13 says, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and have not denied my faith, even those days wherein Antipas was a faithful martyr who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. As with the other letters to the churches, we are confronted with the reality that Christ knows our works. He knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts. He knows our deeds, whether they be good or bad. He goes even further to say that God knows where Satan dwells, where Satan's seat is. And you can even run to Ephesians 6 when he was saying that Satan, you see what I'm saying, high principalities and high places. Satan's seat can be in government. Satan's seat can be in churches. Satan's seat can be, you see what I'm saying? So let's not just say, well, in that particular day, Zeus was who they worship, idol worship. That could be where Satan's seat is. But as men and women of the Most High God, we have to confront it head on. No, it's not acceptable. It may not be even likable. But when we see Satan is putting his seat up in the house of God, then we have a mandate to tear it down. We have a mandate to preach against it. Revelation 2:14, but I have a few things against thee because thou hast there are them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So Pastor Bob is going to bring that out about Balak, but he was putting a stumbling block in front of God's people to hinder them from doing what they were supposed to do. As is the model with some of other churches, we now move from condemnation to a rebuke from the master. Here Jesus confronts those who hold and teach the doctrine of Balaam. In order to learn about Balaam, you got to go back to Numbers, and you could go to Numbers 22 through 24 and read about Balaam. What he was doing, he was trying to block them. So many Christians feel that the Old Testament is just a peripheral material that can be ignored. But we must understand that the Bible, Christianity, through the paradigm of the cross and the resurrection, we still cannot ignore the Old Testament scriptures, because in the Old Testament scriptures there are things that we can even apply today. So we can't just throw it out and say that was the Old Testament. We can run reference. I mean, the same thing Isaiah prophesied, it even came to pass in the New Testament. Amen? Revelation 2:15 has thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. We also see the doctrine of this group condemned along with Balaam. This group apparently believed that sexual immorality and ungodly behavior would not affect one standing in Christ, his or her salvation. We know this to be a false doctrine because God says we are to follow after holiness without which no man shall see the Lord, Hebrews 12:14. So we see even today in the churches, we see a lot of the church members is just comfortable with fornication. They sit up with all types of immorality. And the preachers is teaching a doctrine, once saved, always saved. You can step out of your relationship with God because of unrepentance. And when your heart, when you turn away from God and you refuse to acknowledge him as your Savior and you start going after the way of the heathen, then God in Revelation, he said he can blot your name out the book of life. So we have to be very careful and as preachers to say, well, we're not going to address sin. When sin is rampant in the churches, sin is running people's whole lives. But because they come there and they put you a dollar in your offering plate, you close your eyes to the thing that the very thing that God talked about and said he hated. Repent, he said, Revelation 2:16, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Like he said, the word of God is as a two-edged sword. It cuts. It says, listen, it says, Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow and is a discerner of thoughts and the intents of heart. You can't tell me if when you get the word of God in you, you're going to stay the same. Because the more you get in that word, the more all that idolatry, all that fornication, things will start to fall off you. But you got to apply it. You got to get in the word. You got to read the word. You got to hear the word. Let's go on. He said, Revelation 2:16, repent or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth, as I have stated many times. We really don't like those conditional statements of the Bible, but they're in there for a reason. God is saying this to the church for a reason. Once again, a church is told to repent or else, okay? Despite what a lot of this false doctrine going around that you don't confront sin, Jesus himself said, I have something against you. Repent or else. The sword of the Spirit, which brings comfort to the afflicted, healing to the oppressed, peace to the anxious, and salvation to the lost, also has the capacity to destroy those who disobey his commands. Yes, God is loving. God is all love. But there will come a time when you will be judged for the consequences of your actions. If you are disobedient, you will be judged. This is why we cry out. We cry out and spare not. Because many people are dying and going to hell sitting up in church. This shouldn't be so. Because the pastors are not preaching what they need to preach. What a dreadful thought of having to confront the Savior and the sharp sword as he comes to us in judgment. He know your works. He know your heart. That's what the word of God does. It will discern. It will bring things out of your heart that you didn't even know was hidden there. You see? Revelation 2:17 says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give him to eat hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, save in that he receiveth it. As it is a pattern with other messages to the church, there are promises for overcomers. again, we see the importance of the Old Testament theology as Christ refers to manna. The only difference here is that the reference is to hidden manna. The manna was food that kept them alive during their, the children of Israel, time in the wilderness. It was divine, supernatural provision. Jesus Christ is the source of all blessings in life. We also see the promise of a new name. This is yet another fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy found in Isaiah 62:2. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness and all thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. You see what I'm saying? So when I looked up the word manna, and you would be shocked to know what it meant, but it means edible gum, G-U-M. So if you're thinking about gum, gum is something you chew on, and it's edible. He says this is how you're going to chew on that word. You're going to chew it and chew it. But it's gum that you can, it's sustenance, it can sustain you. This is how the word of God is. You can chew on it and chew on it, regurgitate it, and chew on it some more. Because there is good things in the word of God, but we have to teach the word of God. We have to teach the unadulterated word of God. Amen? So with that, I just wanted to bring out just an illustration. The important lessons we can learn from Pergamum are that Christ does not tolerate and will confront false doctrine, and also that even in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, we, like Antipas, the faithful martyr, can take a bold stand for Christ. Are you taking a stand for Christ? Are you being bold in your belief? No matter how the world look at us, no matter how they call you crazy, are you still taking a stand for righteousness? Look, like I said before, people are hurting. People are dying. People are losing faith even in Christ, because they're looking at a man instead of looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Stop looking to a man. Fall on your face. Fall on your knees to God and say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. Lord, come into my life. Save me. If there was anything, I know I might be a fornicator sitting up in the church. Cleanse me of this fornication. Lord, take the very desire out of me. If I can't get married, Lord, take the desire until we get married. Lord God, if I'm a liar and I'm sitting up in your holy church, take this desire. Take the lying spirit off of me. That's how you repent. Because I'm going to tell you, some of this little stuff they're doing in the church just have you going up in the altar, on the altar, and say, repeat after me. That ain't cutting it. But when they start saying, you cry out of your heart, I guarantee you the Holy Spirit will come in and he will cleanse you. It'll be just like that two-edged sword. It'll cut. You see? The Holy Spirit is a consuming fire. It'll burn it up. Lord, whatever it is in me that ain't like you, take it out of me. God say he's coming back for a holy church without spot or wrinkle. Don't you want to be part of that? Don't you want to be caught up to meet him when he come back for his bride? God ain't coming for no bride with no dirty garment. Church, we got to clean it up. Got to repent. This is what he said to the church. Repent. This is what he's saying to us today. Repent. I want to just announce, too, that on December 31st, we're going to be praying from 11 o'clock on the 31st p.m. to 12 o'clock. And if you desire to call in, we're going to just be praying. We pray the New Year in. I don't believe in no parties, no New Year's parties, because America, we need to pray. We need to repent. And of all the nations, we see America have the most idol worship. We have some of every kind of idol, form of idol worship you could think of. No, it may not be Zeus' name, but it may be proclaiming the same thing. We have idol Satanism, all types of worship, of demonic activity. And church, we can't afford to sleep. We need to wake up. We need to stop this patty caking, because people are hurting. People need deliverance. I would pray that for that young man that took out those little babies, that if you listening and you got that spirit over you, call somebody. Don't give your flesh to the devil. Because what happens, see, Satan will use you to do that, and then you come to your right mind and you realize what you have done. I had a brother to commit suicide. He murdered someone. Look, people need to cry out and ask God, if you got family members that is struggling with this demonic activity, you don't keep it hush-hush. Go to the pastor, go to somebody, and get this prayed off of him. It's tragic that my brother had to go that way, but until they cry out to God and ask for help, God can't do anything. So he was so caught up in his own sorrow and his own grief that the one that could deliver him, he didn't cry out to him. You can't be helped if you don't cry out to God. God said, call upon me and I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things. So if you got this spirit on you and you're being plagued and being tormented by demonic thoughts, no, I'm not. A lot of times they say, well, he had a mental problem. And, you know, this is what Hollywood do. This is what the entertainment industry does. Why is it always you can diagnose the problem after the person is gone? You seen he had a mental problem before he did what he did. You should have been calling somebody. You should have been seeking somebody for help. So let's not wait until the deed is done before we say he need help. Let's start helping him now. People, if you need help, call in. I don't know who listens, but if you need some prayer, call. The number is 323-375-0849. We're here. Email us. Look, I need prayer. KOGM. What is it? Well, you know, we'll give the email address at the end of the church show. But call in, right? Do something. But don't just sit there and be tormented with that demonic spirit.
Amen.
Amen?
KOGM.net.
That's our website, KOGM.net, and there is a link that you could go. And if you need to email us, you just click on that link. That'll come straight to our email. And I promise you, we will call everyone back. We're not too big that we don't have time to take time out for God's hurting people. We will call you. It may not be that day, but just hold on. We'll get to you because, like I told you before, we work, too, during the day. And sometimes when we come home, our little bodies is worn, too. So keep us in prayer in that aspect. But it takes faith when you trust in God and you believe in God for the ministry. And you believe in God that he's going to send the souls. He's going to send the people. That's faith. A lot of times, like we told you about Ephesus, they were going strictly off how the edifice looked, how big it was, how beautiful it was. But what does it matter if it's a big church and nobody is there set free and delivered? What does it matter if everybody is driving Rolls Royces and nobody is there saved and set free? Began to be just a show. Look at me kind of thing. But like the disciples said, silver and gold I have none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. We're going to give. We ask the Lord that he impart his Holy Spirit on you so you can rise up and be whole. Amen. I know it sounds like we got a passion, but I mean, when I heard that Friday, my heart was grieved because first thing I thought about my little grandbabies. And I can only imagine what the parents is going through. You send them to school and you get some tragic news like that. We got earthquakes. We just had a tsunami or somewhere in the Philippines, thousands dead. Look, people, it's so much tragedy going on. It's so much going on. We don't have time to play games. We don't have time to teach you how to live your best years. No! We can't tell you those lies. Those are lies. Because sometimes you might go through some time, hard times.
You might go through persecution. Where is your hope? Have you built on a solid foundation? Or are you building on something that's sinking sand? If you're building on materialism, if you're building on lust, if you're building on pride, all this stuff is going to perish. Only what you do for Christ will last. We have to build on the solid foundation, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise God. Amen. At this time, I'm going to yield the floor up to Pastor Bobby. Be blessed.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We want to thank the Lord for Sister Montgomery as she went forth in reference to Pergamos and reference to the churches of Revelation. And we're bringing those things out today because of the times that we live in, because of the things that were said earlier. We have to get serious with the things of God. Another thing I would like to say also is that these churches that Jesus spoke to in Asia Minor, as was said earlier, the very things that were happening then is still happening now. Those various spirits, those various devils, those various demons, those various doctrines that Jesus spoke against, and not only Jesus, but the apostles spoke against those things also. So the church then and the believers then, they weren't buying into that stuff. They weren't buying into it even at the cost of their living or their life or comfort or any of those things. Their main concern was Jesus Christ, and that was it. Now, many of them perished under the persecution, and some gave up. But we're not talking about those that gave up because they may have gotten their lives back right with Christ. But what we're dealing with is the spirit that's going over the land today. And it was as was said earlier, we lift up those in Newtown, Connecticut, and we continue to pray for them and with them and pray that God continue to touch their hearts and minds in this manner and that God would give them peace and strength in this time. What we're talking about right now, we're talking about the Church of Pergamos. And one thing I want to bring out in that regard is that Jesus spoke to seven churches in which we realize. He spoke to Smyrna, and then he spoke to Pergamos. Now, it's interesting to note that in Smyrna, he spoke to Smyrna, and he said, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Now, Jesus said that to Smyrna, but in Pergamos, he said where Satan's seat is or where Satan dwelleth. I'm going to bring that out a little bit. Now, in Pergamos was 15 miles from the Aegean coast and 70 miles north of Smyrna. They had immense altar to Zeus there. It is said that that particular altar made to Zeus, which was a chief of the Greek gods, it was about 40 foot tall. It was about 40 feet tall. So it stood on the Acropolis, which was the upper high part of the city, and it was 1,000 feet above the plain. Now, that might be the reason why the Lord says Satan's seat, in reference to Satan's seat, because everybody could see that giant statue of this idol that they were worshiping at that time. Now, also, the Church of Pergamum is represented by the state church. In other words, the state church was constituted by Constantine. It said it continued until the first pope was recognized to have authority over the Catholic Church. That was A.D. 313 to 590. So you see, the state church at that time was Catholicism. All right? And so anybody that wasn't under that particular doctrine of religion under Constantine could be counted as a criminal. Yes. Yes, could be counted as a criminal. So they had that against them, and they also had the false religion of Zeus and all those other Roman gods that was going on. Now, what I'm saying is that was the time, because that's what that meant at the time. It was one church, and it was a state church. So now you can see how if someone has a church that is a religion that is incorporated with the government, then you can have a problem with that, because it's a government religion. And so because it's a government religion that is a state religion, then anything outside of that particular state religion can be outlawed. And that's what was happening right then. Because at that particular time, for a long time in Rome, the kings or the Caesars, they would consider themselves, and they would make themselves God, and they would desire worship from the people that they were gods or be God. And as you know, believers in Christ can only worship the one true and living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and none other. Jesus Christ is our Lord, and none other. Jesus Christ, the Word of God incarnate, the Son of the living God, who is God. Ah, hallelujah. And that's who the people of God worship. They do not worship men. They do not worship dumb idols. And they do not follow false doctrine. And that's what Jesus was dealing with, and that's what he was addressing in these various churches. And Ephesians, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Philadelphia, Laodicea, all of these different churches, got the Lord Jesus Christ addressed in the era that they were in. Now, the same era that those churches were in is the same thing and era that the churches are in now, right now, as I'm speaking. The same thing. So how do you deal with that? You deal with that through the word of Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, I'm going to bring out some things in reference to the various things that Jesus spoke against, and he spoke against mainly against the doctrine of Balaam and Balak and the Nicolaitans. Now, the Nicolaitans were a group close to agnosticism, whereas they believed that what you did or the life that you live was totally separate from the relationship that you had with Jesus Christ. In other words, it was a kind of a belief that was connected to unconditional eternal security. In other words, once you accepted the Lord Jesus in your life, you really didn't have to repent, and you really didn't have to live a life that was pleasing to Jesus Christ. Now, I wanted to bring some things out now. In Revelation 2 and 6, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate, Jesus hates them. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. So there was a doctrine going on in that time that I'm going to get into in more detail right now. It says the fact that this group find themselves mentioned in Holy Scripture gives us motivation to at least know something of their doctrine. Now, Jesus said he hates the doctrine. A good reason that he hates it, because it taught against holiness. It taught against righteousness, and it taught against a lifestyle pleasing to God in Christ. Now, one thing I want to bring out is that when you talk about things like this, when you talk about doing things that is pleasing to God, living upright, preaching the word straight, I said straight, you're not bending it. You're not bending it to what you think is right, but you're going strictly by the word of the living God. And that's what it's all about. It's about the word of God and living a life pleasing to Jesus Christ. It's not about the money. It's not about the cars. It's not about affluence. It's not about any of those things. What it is about your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's all the Word of God is about from Genesis to Revelation, is God's relationship to man and man's relationship to God. All the Scripture and everything from Genesis relation to Revelation is in reference to that. Is in reference to our life with God, in reference to spiritual maturity, in reference to the kingdom of God being manifested on the earth through mankind. And you cannot do that by mixing the world with Christ, by going and drinking the doctrines of devils with the cup of the Lord. You can't do that. That doesn't work. That is a snare. That is abominable to God. And you say, well, what are you talking about, Pastor Montgomery? What are you talking about? You mean I can't live any kind of way and make it into the kingdom? I can't live it any kind of way and make it to heaven? Well, I'm going to tell you the truth. No, you can't. You can't do that. Jesus lived a perfect life. He was the only man that was without sin. Jesus Christ lived a perfect life. He knew no sin. Now, if Jesus Christ came out of heaven, spoke the word of God, lived a perfect life, knew no sin, and we are supposed to be Christ-like. Now, I know that we are not perfect in that regard. But we can strive to be mature. We can strive to be Christ-like. Why? Because Jesus set the example. He set the example with his life, with his death, with his burial, with his resurrection. He set the example of how we should live. Now, Jesus, oh, my Lord. Now, God gave us the Ten Commandments, which was his law, that he was given, that showing us the things that we should do that would please him. But when God, oh, hallelujah, when God gave the Ten Commandments, when he gave the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, they, by them living, or living as close to the Ten Commandments as they could, keeping the Sabbath, doing the various rituals and all those things, and obeying God, believing in God and having faith in God, that counted to them for righteousness. But it didn't necessarily save them from their sins. But when Jesus Christ came on the scene, he was the perfect sacrifice. Therefore, we don't have to continue to offer up blood sacrifices, because there was one blood sacrifice that was the key blood sacrifice in Jesus Christ. So therefore, we can become Christ-like ones. We can be filled with the Spirit of the living God. But it's not according to the false teaching of the Nicolaitans, or not according to the false teachings of Balaam. Now, I'm going to get into this a little more. But now, in reference to the Nicolaitans, I'm just going to go through some things here. Because a Nicolaitan is somebody who says, well, he's basically a hypocrite. I'll just say it like that. He wants to say that he's something in God and Christ, but his life says a totally different thing. And when the world sees that, they're confused, and some believers are taken up in that because they actually start to believe that they don't have to live holy lives, that they don't have to change, that they don't have to repent, and everything is good, everything is wonderful, and you're deceived. But Jesus comes straight out against that, and the scripture says he hated it. It didn't say he didn't like it. He said our Lord and Savior hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans. And not only did he hate the deeds of it, he hated their doctrine also. You see? People, you see, children of the Most High God, and we don't want to be involved in that. We don't want to touch that. Because it can destroy us, body and soul. One thing I'd like to bring out is this. In that day and time, in Pergamos, it was common. It was, listen to this, it was common to be persecuted. It was a common thing then to lose their lives literally for the gospel, literally for Jesus Christ. Why? Because they wouldn't compromise. Why? Because they spoke out against what was going on in that time. Saints of the Most High God, I'll say it like this. Speaking the truth, telling it like the scripture says, being bold in the things of God, many times people won't like you because they don't understand that you are speaking love through Christ Jesus. You are saying, don't step where the lion is. Don't step where the beast is. Don't step where that poisonous snake is, because these things will kill you. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't go that way. Because many times there's a snake out there, it's called a black mamba. And they say if this snake bites you, if you don't get immediate help within minutes, you're going to die. So that's how potent that snake is. There are things out there that if you don't get immediate help, you will die and be lost. You will die and be lost. But you got people out here that's sounding the alarm, and they're crying loud and sparing not. And they're telling you what thus saith the Lord. They're telling you how to make it, how to survive, how to defeat the enemy, how to be delivered from all this false doctrine, from all these different lies that these people are telling. And why are they telling you these lies? To get your money. They don't love you. They want your money and whatever else they can get from you. And the Nicolaitans was just like that. They didn't care about these people that they were lying to. They were just trying to get what they could get, to pull them away from Jesus, to pull them away from God, the true and living God. Now I say Jesus and the apostles warned that the followers of Christ will be brought before rulers and authorities and asked to give a testimony. But, you know, sometimes the greatest threat to Christians, it don't come from without, it comes from within. Now, it's interesting that the mention of the Nicolaitans, when Jesus addresses the church at Ephesus, that Paul had already addressed the Ephesians, and men of this same regard, of the dangers of apostasy. Now, apostasy doesn't necessarily mean that somebody they're just sinners or backsliders. It means that they know the way, but they choose to go a different way. In other words, they know about Jesus Christ, but they go and they live a way that's totally opposed to what they know is right and true. It's apostasy. That's why you can have people literally filling up various churches, various places of worship, but their lives are very raggedy, and you can't really tell that they're believers outside of the four walls. But see, outside of the four walls is where our worship really begins. Outside of the four walls is where our witness really begins. Outside those four walls is where we really have a living testimony for Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus was talking about. That's what Jesus was referring to in all the seven churches of Asia Minor. Now, in Acts 20 and 29, it reads like this. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. 20 and 30 reads, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. and 20 and 31 reads, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now this was Paul speaking in Acts to the people. And this was also in reference to Ephesians. But all these various churches have various things in common, and a lot of times it was the same spirit going through all the churches just in different times. And every time it had to be addressed. And the apostles at that time were addressing those things. You couldn't bribe them. You couldn't buy them off. You couldn't buy them off from the truth. They couldn't be bribed. The Caesars, the leaders of that time, they couldn't call them off. They couldn't make them deny the Lord. They couldn't make them compromise the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you got people now that's not compromising the Jesus Christ. And I'm saying to you, all of you out there, do not compromise the teaching of Jesus Christ. Do not compromise the word of God. Do not compromise with your life or with your speech. Don't compromise. We are living in a truly evil time. There are things that are happening now that has never happened since men have been on the earth. Now you say, well, it's always been earthquakes. It's always been floods. It's always been tsunamis and things like this. But not and the frequency that is happening now. And Jesus said, these things are just the beginning of sorrow. It's just the beginning. It's the tip of the iceberg. Our Lord and Savior also said that it shall be as it was in the days of Noah. Now, in the days of Noah, it was so wicked that the scriptures say that they only thought evil continually. And what did God do? He wiped them out. But Jesus said it would be just like that. And what are we looking at now? Every time, you can't cut on the news without seeing evil, without seeing destruction, without seeing wars, without seeing calamities, without seeing demonic activity, witchcraft. You see all of that. So what does that mean? Does that mean you should, because you see this, you should fall away from God? Because you see this, then you say there is no God? No. You say the word of God is being fulfilled. Prophecy is being fulfilled. The book of Revelation is a prophetic book, but it deals in times past, present, and future. That's Revelation. It goes through all those various dimensions. It goes from the Old Testament all the way through to the New Testament, even up until the millennial kingdom is what this book and what Jesus was talking about. And that's what we're talking about right now. And there's an urgency on it because we can very well see the words of God being manifest right before our eyes, people, right before our eyes. You can read the Bible. Take your head up out the Bible, look around you, and see the word of God being manifest. You can see the word of God being manifest right before your eyes. Lord have mercy. And some of us, and some people, have the nerve and the audacity to be an atheist, to not believe in the true and living God. And it is because of God that you breathe every breath that you breathe, that you hear everything that you hear, that you see everything that you see. And every time you take a bite of any nourishing food and you taste it, that is God. But some of you out there say he doesn't exist. Well, why and how do you live? The enemy doesn't give life. The enemy can't give life. Lucifer can't give life. He only steals. He only kills. He only destroys. That's all the enemy does. But God and Christ is life and life more abundantly. That's why we cry loud. That's why we spare not. Because we are sick and tired of seeing the enemy destroy people. Even coming into churches. You saw what he did the other day. That was the enemy. That was the enemy. That was the enemy. That was Lucifer. That was the devil. That's what that was. And that's what Jesus was referring to, and that's what Jesus was dealing with. He was talking to the church about this because that was the same. That's what they were doing then. They were persecuting and killing the saints of the Most High God in that time. And I'm telling you, they're doing the same thing in other countries. Why? Many times it's because of the government. Why? Many times it's because of the acts of Satan and Lucifer that has permeated these various governments, and they still feel that they can stamp out Jesus Christ, which is an impossibility. It will not be done. It cannot be done. And it won't be done. And it will never be done. It's a losing battle. You cannot defeat the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. You cannot defeat the Almighty One. You cannot defeat someone who's all-powerful and all-knowing, and he's everywhere. You can't do anything with that. You can't do anything with God. Although God has given us a choice. He gives us a choice. He gives us a choice. And some of us abuse that. He gives us a free will. And some of us abuse that. And even though he is great and mighty and all-powerful, all-knowing, and is everywhere, he will not go against the mandate that he has given to us in our free will and in our choice. But he will have people out crying out and saying, choose life, choose life, choose life. What is life? Life is Jesus Christ. What is truth? Truth is Jesus Christ. What is love? Love is Jesus Christ. How are you going to get away from it? How are you going to get around him? Because when you breathe your last breath, and when you lay down for the last time, you're on your deathbed, you got to answer to somebody. It's not going to be to your mother. It's not going to be to your father. It's not going to be to the preacher. It's not going to be to the policeman. It's not going to be to the doctors or the lawyers. It's going to be to Jesus Christ. You're going to have to stand before Jesus Christ one day, whether you believe it or not. Whether you believe it or not, you're going to stand before the Lord and give account of your actions. And the Lord is not going to ask you how good of a Baptist you was, or how good of a Pentecostal you was, or how good of a Catholic you was. It's going to be, did you know him? Did you have a relationship with him? That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And if it wasn't about that, Jesus would never have come to the seven churches of Asia Minor and set them straight. He never would have, because it wouldn't have mattered. But it does matter. He loves us just that much. And he still loves us. And he's still sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us day and night and praying for us that we don't be caught in all this foul deception and these lies that's going forth in the name of Jesus. And they're using his name to deceive and destroy and rob people. And people will try to say, yeah, and people will try to say that that's God. You see the deception. And people hardly recognize a true believer, a true Christ-like one, because of these Nicolaitans and because of these Balaam worshipers, or Balaam, or false prophets, false prophets. They prophesy for money. That's what Balaam did. He was paid to curse. Of course, he couldn't get the payment, but he was sought out by Balak and was offered money to curse the children of Israel, to curse them. But Balaam couldn't curse them. God would not allow Balaam to curse the children of Israel. He couldn't do it. Every time he opened his mouth to curse the children of Israel, he blessed them. Two or three times, they went to three different places. Balak took Balaam to three different places. Said, well, he couldn't curse them right at this spot, so now I'm going to take him to another spot and see if he'll curse them there. He went there. Balaam couldn't curse them. He opened his mouth, and he blessed the children of Israel. Balak said, well, look here, this spot here, this must not be any good, so we're going to go to another spot. So he took them to another spot. The third time, Balaam still could not curse the children of Israel, but instead he blessed them. Now, the reason I'm talking like that, that's what Satan desires to do. He desires for the children of God to do something, say something, and not just do it, but continue in it. Because as long as we repent and we call to God and I said repent, which means to turn away from something and stop doing the thing and mature from something. I'll make it a little plainer. If you used to be a pimp and you repent from being a pimp, that means you stop pimping. I'm sorry, I'll just make it plain. I'm making it plain because some people act like they don't understand repentance. So I'm going to make it plain. Now, I'm going to read something to you. And I'm just reading some common scripture here. We hear it all the time. But that's not what was going on in these churches. See, they were doing things that they were just confused. But the Lord said in 2 Corinthians 5 and 12, well, I'm starting at 5 and 16, well, for henceforth we know man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What is that saying? That's saying you're not that same old person. You're not that same old woman. You're not that same young boy, young girl. Because Christ has came into your life, and you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You've been born again. You're a new creation in Christ by and through Jesus Christ. So that's what we're talking about now. You cannot get into Revelation without talking about repentance, salvation, and deliverance. That's the bottom line. Now, what Jesus did, he pointed out their faults, and he told them to repent. That's all we're saying. Repent. Now, I talked about the Nicolaitans and that particular doctrine of this. It's kind of one save, always save. You can be saved one time, and then you don't have to live anything. You can live like the devil. You can keep going to clubs. You can keep drinking. You can keep smoking dope. You can keep running women. You can keep lying. You can keep cussing. You don't have to change your lifestyle. You don't have to do none of that. You shook the preacher hand one time. You repented one time. So you're good for eternity. But that's not what the scripture says. That's not what the scripture says. Jesus didn't tell the churches, say, well, look here, Pergamos, I tell you what, Pergamos, you don't have to stop following after Balaam. You don't have to stop that with the Nicolaitans. You don't have to stop that. I mean, you good. You don't have to repent. You don't have to stop doing those things. But Jesus didn't say that. He said, repent. Jesus said, repent. Jesus said, repent. Now, what part of that, Jesus saying repent, do we not understand? What is that? Is that a foreign word or something? Repent. Turn to me. Jesus said, be ye holy, for I am holy. That simply means to be set aside. That simply means to be Christ-like. No, you're not floating on the crowd. No, you're subject to make an error sometime. You're subject to do something wrong. Something bad might happen to you sometime. But you're still a child of God because your heart is not bent toward evil. You don't desire to do wrong all the time. You're not a sinner anymore. You have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. You have been cleansed through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You have been justified by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You have been sanctified by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why? Because of what he did on the cross. There is no man, you can check your history, that went up on the cross. First of all, he was beat all night long, whipped all night long, then put up on the cross and had nails driven through feet and hands, a crown of thorns pressed deep into his head. He did that for us. And the scripture says he counted it that as joy. He looked forward and he saw us. And he died for us. And then he was buried and was resurrected on the third day. And the scripture said he was seen of some over 500 people saw him. And John, the same John that wrote the book of Revelation, said he spoke and he did things that was the books of the world couldn't hold it. That's the one I'm talking about. Who is like him? Who is like our Lord? Who is mightier than him? No one, nothing, nobody. Yes, I'm speaking up for the Lord. He's my Savior. I hope he's your Savior. And if he's not, he can be. We can lead you to the Lord today. Call the number 323-375-0849 because we're living in the last days. And I'm going to tell you like this. You don't know when you're taking your last breath. You don't know what tomorrow holds. Matter of fact, you really don't know what the next 15 minutes holds. You think you do, but you really don't. Because God is the only one who truly, truly knows the future. He knows everything. But God is the only one who truly knows the future. And I want you to consider that and think about that. Now, I want to talk a little bit about Balaam, because what Balaam was doing, and he spoke this to Pergamos, they in Pergamos they dealt with the Nicolaitans and the doctrine of Balaam. The doctrine of Balaam was a doctrine that was, it had like a hindering spirit before it. It was a stumbling block, and I'm going to bring out some things in that regard in Revelation 2. And 14, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. Now, the doctrine of Balaam, it was strictly condemned by Christ Jesus. It's important that we understand what Balaam's doctrine was. So I'm going to get into that, so that we can steer clear of it today. The Old Testament alludes to Jesus makes very plain the doctrine of Balaam involved idolatry and sexual immorality. Now, it is also, it referenced to Baal Peor. Now, Baal Peor means the god of the opening. The god of the opening, Baal Peor. All right, now we're going to get into this a little more. Now, it says, involve idolatry and sexual immorality. I'm not, we don't have time to get in the whole story of Balaam for time's sake. But you can go to Numbers chapter 22 through 24, and it brings it all out. But Balak hired Balaam. It's a prophet of sorts who was called a soothsayer, but what he really was a false prophet because he was prophesying for money, and he was prophesying to curse. And our Lord and Savior, and it's all through the scripture where our Lord and Savior tells us to bless and not curse. Why did he say bless and not curse? Because when God says bless somebody, what he's actually saying is God's will be done in that person's life, that person would get saved, that person would realize the goodness and the grace of Jesus Christ and salvation. So when you say bless somebody, that's basically what you're saying. Lord, let your will be done in that person's life. But when you curse somebody, you're opening up satanic activity in that person's life, and you're wishing all evil to come upon that person. So our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is not about evil. He's about good. So we should not curse people. We should bless people. So you see how Balaam was totally against the things of God because his desire was to curse God's people as they go about doing the will of God, and that's the enemy. That's Balak throwing stumbling blocks in front of people, trying to stop people from doing what God told them to do. That's the spirit of Balaam. But he does this in a certain way, all right? It says, now, after numerous attempts at bribing Balaam by Balak, finally comes to the conclusion that he couldn't curse what God blessed. He just couldn't do it. It's an impossibility. But check this out. But even though Balaam could not curse God's people, if you read on in the scripture in Numbers chapter 22 through 24, you see that Satan used another strategy. And what did he do? He used the opposite sex of women in that time who were separate from God and who were in idolatrous worship, who were worshiping false God. The enemy enticed the people of God to get involved with idol worshipers through sexuality, through lust, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. And that was a hindering. So you see, look. You look at television. Look at the music industry. And you see this very same thing going on. You can't look at a commercial, or you can't look at a television commercial without them throwing sex at you. They throw it at you. They throw it at you. So what is this? This is a deception. This is a trap. This is a lure. This is something that pulls you away from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now let me read a little something here to you. So it's going to take more than just some verbal curse to make Israel vulnerable to her enemies. So this is what happens. Numbers 31, 8 through 16, it's obvious that Balaam's strategy included getting the children of Israel to commit sexual immorality with the Midianite women. In committing this trespass, the men of Israel were also mingling with the pagan gods worshipped by these women. This is a perfect example of religious syncretism. That's a big theological word, but it basically means a mixture of different belief systems. What makes it so deadly is that it gives the outward appearance of piety and reverence for God, all the while tolerating the things that he has so clearly designated as an abomination to him. We must be aware of this even today, now more than ever. So the doctrine of Balaam is mentioned more and elsewhere in New Testament. 2 Peter 2:15, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. The wages of unrighteousness. What does this indicate? It indicates that false teachers, false prophets, are motivated by money and power, not for the salvation of souls, not that you be delivered and set free, not that you live a holy life, not that you be sanctified, not that you live a living testimony for Jesus Christ, but motivated by money and power to gain more and more followers. They want to compromise the message, tickle the ears of the masses. They do not care about your souls. They do not care about you being lost. They do not care about you being destroyed by Satan, being eaten up by the enemy. They don't care about you being demon-possessed, diseased, full of infirmity. They don't care. They don't care. They don't care. They just want your money and whatever else they can get from you. They're not concerned about you. They don't love you like that. They do not express the love of Jesus Christ. And it's a shame. People hurting. People being destroyed. People being murdered, killed. All kinds of evil is happening against people. And they have nowhere to go. They think they're going to get delivered from these things. And they're just being taken advantage of, being made merchandise of. And the Lord Jesus Christ is not happy. He's not happy. No, he's not happy about this. But he's got it under control. And he's going to deal with these liars, false prophets, and false teachers. They can't even preach the word of God. They can't preach deliverance. They can't preach salvation without attaching a dollar sign to it. And it's a crying shame. It makes me sick. Sickens me. It sickens me. Because we have had people being tormented by foul spirits, being tormented day and night by devils. And they sit up in huge churches and can't get delivered, can't get set free. They got to go to some little small church somewhere to get delivered and get set free and be made whole. And we sit up. We eat good. We got plenty of money. We drive our cars. There's nothing wrong with that. But we got to deal with folks who hurting out there. We got to deal with people that money can't help. Houses can't help. Only Jesus Christ can help them. We're talking about the churches of Revelation. The only way they could be set free from the stuff that they were in was through Christ Jesus. And that's why Christ Jesus came and spoke to every last church. And he wasn't just talking to seven churches. He was talking to every believer that believed in him. And it's the same way now. He's talking to every believer that believes in him. And he's saying, come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing and be separate, and I will be your God and you will be my people. But you cannot mix the things of the world in Christ. And that's what Balaam was doing. All right, we got a few minutes left. I'm going to read a couple of more scriptures, and then we'll open the phone lines. Phone line is 323-375-0849. Jude 1 and 11 said, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the arrow of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor." There it is again. Greed and avarice. Greed and avarice. Now, I'm going to cut off right now. But you say, well, you know, why you all do this with such passion? Why you get so excited over this and stuff? Why? Well, when you see people that come to the Lord and they love God and they're sincere and they really want to please God and they really want to go with the Lord, they really want to obey the Lord, they really want to make it into the kingdom, and they come before people who throw stumbling blocks in their way and teach them false doctrines and make merchandise of them and put them in a worse position than they were before they came, and you know what's happening, you know what's going on, and then you have to speak out. You have to tell the truth. America, America, children of the Most High God, our deliverance, our salvation is in Christ Jesus. It's in Christ Jesus. It's not in politics. It's not in money. It's not in our movie stars. It's not in our sports stars. It's not in any of those things. It's in Christ Jesus. It's in Christ Jesus. It's in Christ Jesus. That's it. It's not in Buddhism. It's not in Islam. It's not in Hare Krishna. It's not in Hinduism. It's not in Wiccan. It's not in any of those beliefs. It's only in Christ Jesus. He is the only way, regardless of what people say. Jesus Christ, the only way, regardless of what other people say. Now, I want to thank you all for listening on today, and I pray that someone has been uplifted and that revelation has been made known to someone. I would pray that everyone listening out there to create a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ. Get in your word. Pray, fast. Study the word. Don't just accept anything that anybody says. Study the word. Study the word. Amen. We're going to close off. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray that you touch, set free, and deliver your people that's listening to your word. We come against every foul, false spirit, lying spirit. We come against every one of those false spirits by the blood and in the name of Jesus. We bind them up and we cast them out right now in Jesus' name. We command you not to torment the people of God anymore. We bind you up and we cast you out in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.